Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Here in The Source studios, we keep a box of tissues right in the studio, and this is for sometimes things get emotional and sometimes people just have runny noses because San Antonio is a place of a lot of allergies. It's been rated as one of the top five challenging places in the nation to live with fall allergies. What to do about that? Why is it making you so crummy? What's in the air that's really aggravating you? We're talking about that this afternoon. What home remedies do you have to deal with allergies? 210-614-8980 to talk about allergies. We're with us to talk about that today. We're joined by Kenneth Mendez. He is the president and CEO of the Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America. Dr. Eliseo Villalobos, the physician with the Allergy Institute of San Antonio, and Dr. Adelita Cantu, the associate professor of the School of Nursing at UT Health San Antonio. Welcome, all of you. It's great to have you here this afternoon.
Thank you.
So let me start off with Dr. Villalobos. Can you tell me, what is it? What is an allergy?
Well, an allergy is an immune response to an allergen. Now, an allergen can be a lot of different things. An allergen can be animal dander, it can be pollen, it can be mold, but it's actually your immune system responding to that when it really doesn't need to.
And so we have seasonal allergies here, and they're quite of them are pretty strong. So, Dr. Cantu, can you talk about what's going on here?
Well, certainly for the fall, which we're in right now, and which is the one that's the most important, would be ragweed. Ragweed is very significant in the fall.
So what is ragweed?
Ragweed is a plant that we seem to have more of here, and it does produce pollen in the fall, which then gets into the atmosphere, gets into the air that we breathe. But we could also get it into our skin. It could go into our skin, we breathe it in, and as the doctor was speaking about, the allergen then creates the immune response in our body. So ragweed is very significant in the fall, which we're into right now.
But we also hear about mountain cedar.
Mountain cedar.
And after a rain event like we've been having here, we get the rain and then we have the sun that creates these mold blooms.
Right.
And those mold, it's kind of like, the red tide on the coast, it's like red tide for the air. It seems like all these toxins that the molds produce.
Right. And everybody realizes how much rain we've had over the last month. And the mold from that is produced even more. But all over the country, you're seeing wherever there's rain. I mean, what's happening in Florida right now, you're going to have the mold that's there. Whenever you have a big rain event, you're going to have more mold. And that's not seasonal. That's throughout the year.
And all these things that are seasonal have got all this now water and sun, and
exactly,
they're going to be bursting.
You're right.
Putting out their... Right. So let me find out more about San Antonio's ranking and why that is. Kenneth Mendez is the president and CEO of the Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America, and you came up with this study. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, thanks, David. Our group does this every year, and we basically do a study across the nation that looks at three factors for this study. It's pollen score, medicine utilization per patient, and then access to board-certified allergists per patient. And so those three factors combine in the rankings, and the number one was McAllen, Texas, and this fall, and then we do it twice a year, and McAllen showed up in the spring as well. And I'd say that within the top five cities in Texas have been up there in the last two reports.
This is something we should be proud of. Yay, go San Antonio.
Yeah, right.
So this means that people here are particularly hurting or miserable?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say a couple things. One is, there are these three data points that we have, and as the doctor just mentioned, ragweed, there are other things, and mold. I mean, I take a bigger picture view of this. We try and raise the awareness level about allergies, but how can you prevent them? Mm-hmm. And the doctors can talk about the very specific interventions, but we're a patient advocacy organization based in Washington, D.C., and clearly climate change and things have a direct impact on allergies. We've seen earlier springtime after a warm, wet winter, higher releases of pollen. Ragweed tends to grow profusely with higher carbon dioxide levels and global warming. So all those factors really have an impact on allergies.
Can a person build up immunity? Can you toughen this out? You know, if I don't want to take any medicine because I want to build up my body and eventually I will be tougher than the allergens. So so Kenneth Mendez, is that a realistic approach?
Yeah, I mean there are treatments, the doctors here, and one of the data points for us is access to a certified allergist, where you could have various tests taken and then have therapy in order to desensitize you to some of the environmental allergies.
Right, but I'm one of these guys, I don't want to take any allergy medicine. I figure eventually my body is going to beat this thing. So, Dr. Villalobos, am I deluded?
Just a bit. It actually has to do with exposure. Mm-hmm. You know, the amount of exposure that you get when you're exposed to the ragweed here is a tremendous amount. If you are able to get a small amount and actually just increase your exposure, there's a possibility. But the exposure that we have out right now, it's you're not going to desensitize yourself to it alone.
Yeah, but there's some people who are just completely knocked out. They're not able to function unless they get some sort of medical intervention. And then some people like me, we just, you know, we're miserable all the time anyway. This is just something we can blame it on. So Dr. Cantu, what's the first thing you need to tell somebody?
Well, I'll just tell you, this morning with my nursing students, we were in clinical today, and there was one student that came in. He obviously had his head full of sinuses were hurting him. He just didn't look good. One of the problems is that if we let it go, it can turn into an infection. You can get some sinusitis. So there's some complications with that.
That's serious.
Right. And so it is significant that you pay attention to it. What can you do to desynthesize yourself or protect yourself from the exposure or limit some of the exposure to it, which, as you said, can be very difficult here because it's all around us.
Yeah, I'm going to get to some calls for a second, but first I want to ask you this before I forget the question. Does having these allergies reactions, does it sometimes mask other things that people may be suffering? They can't tell if they have a cold or if they're dealing with an allergen or if they have other things, strep throat. They can't tell if, you know, how are we supposed to figure out what's wrong with me when so many things are inflamed?
Did you want to go?
Okay.
So I think the first response for most people is that, I'll get over it. I'll get over it. So not paying attention to some of those things. Do they have a fever? Does it not go away? Am I having difficulty talking, or that mucus there? What color is the mucus that's coming from my cough or my sneeze? All of those are signs and symptoms that it could become into that infection, something that can build upon and make you feel worse. So I do encourage people to not just think, I'll get over it, because uh-huh. That's when the problems do start happening.
And Dr. Villalobos?
I would agree. There are some clues that give you some hints that it may be a cold as opposed to allergies. And as Dr. Cantu said, usually with an allergy, you don't have a fever. And usually with a cold, it can last 3 or 4 days. The allergies, you feel fine otherwise. You just have all these severe nasal symptoms. But it can persist. It can persist for a couple of weeks. So that's not always the case, but it does give you a little bit of clues on which is which.
All right, let's take some callers on the air. Charles, the number is 210-614-8980. And Charles, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning to everybody. Thank you for taking my call. I'm just curious. I'm from the East Coast, and I used to be a bus operator for many, many years. I come home with what I call pollen poison. I mean, you could kick the stuff up on the curb. I mean, I get really sick. But since I've been to Texas, I've worked for Bexar County. I've cut brush on the south side, north side. I've done things, and I don't have allergy problems here. But I do notice we have a problem with air quality, and I'm wondering why there isn't more something about the air quality. From what I understand, it's because of the crosswinds that we have here. The EPA can't really put a fix on things. Could you explain that to me? And I'll take all my answers off the air. Thank you so much for your time.
All right. So let's go to Kenneth Mendez. He's the president and CEO of the Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America. I would like to know more about the connection between these two and as we deal with air quality, how that impacts asthma.
Yeah, no, clearly that's a great question. And it's a big concern because, 3,000 people die a year from asthma, and an allergic trigger for asthma can be hay fever. So asthma is a chronic respiratory problem that if not managed correctly can cause death, and some of that and there are triggers that cause asthma, and clearly an allergic hay fever can be one of those triggers that you have to get it under control. And with asthma, air quality is very important in order to manage the condition and to control the condition.
Dr. Cantu, our local air quality, and how does that connect to asthma?
So a couple of things I would say with that. So the caller was talking about the crosswinds. That may be one of the things that's significant is from San Antonio, we do get the breezes from the Eagle Ford Shell area where the fracking is going on. And so some of those allergens would get into the air and come over to us. So that would be one of the things that would happen in terms of air quality. The other thing that's significant here in San Antonio is that we are now in non-attainment of ground-level ozone, and that certainly contributes negatively to our air quality. And I know San Antonio, I'm sure you've had some shows on that as well, and San Antonio is certainly trying to make some efforts in cleaning up that and making us, all our citizens, aware of what ground-level ozone is and how we can play a part in cleaning that up. But those are certainly things that trigger not only the allergies, but certainly the asthma as well.
So, but we get winds coming from all directions.
Right.
In the evening, we typically will get the coastal winds. When we get those blue northers coming in, they're coming through the hill country. They're going to be picking up every molecule of cedar fever and bringing
everywhere.
It right to your face.
Exactly.
And so that's something that people really feel.
The winds, the way the wind currents are going has a significant impact on air quality. And the northerns, and now that we're in fall and winter, you'll get winds coming from the north, bringing everything down. And then, of course, in the summer, spring and summer, we get winds from the coast, the southeast, going through the Eagle Ford Shell, coming to San Antonio. So winds have a huge impact on air quality.
Right. So when I turn on the news and I see Bill Taylor talking about the allergens and all these things, is that information that I can somehow incorporate into how I'm going to deal with allergies, Dr. Villalobos?
No, absolutely. In my practice, we do talk a lot about environmental control measures that you can do to decrease your extreme exposure. And so when you knowing that the pollen counts are high, there are some things you can do, realizing that, the animals, when they come out inside from outside, they're bringing a lot of pollen on them. HEPA filter air cleaners for the bedroom can also help a lot. I want to go back to Charles. Charles did not say how long he's been here in San Antonio, but generally when you move to a new area, you do feel better because it does take you about 3 seasons before you become sensitized to the things in the area. So Charles, you're not out of the woods just yet.
Yeah. All right, Charles, sorry about that. You talk about animals, of cats can also be hard on people with allergies. If you have an indoor cat, they have, you put them on your lap, next thing you know, your eyes are itching. What's going on, doctor?
What's interesting, with a dog, most of the allergic protein comes from the saliva. So the short-haired dogs actually do tend to be more tolerable. With a cat, there's a lot of different areas on a cat that people react to. The allergic protein can come from the saliva, it can come from the skin, even the urine on a cat can people react to. So there's a lot of different areas from a cat that people can become sensitized and allergic to.
And what do they do about that? Get a new cat?
Well, the science of medicine says get rid of the cat. But the art of medicine says, take some medications, try to keep it out of the bedroom in areas where you spend a lot of time in. So the medications can help.
Like which meds?
Well, the antihistamines, Claritin, Allegra, Zyrtec, Benadryl, are highly effective for runny nose and sneezing and itching. They usually work within an hour or two of taking them. What they really don't help is when you get stuffy. Once you get stuffy, the sinuses can get blocked off, and really you need a nasal steroid spray for those symptoms.
All right, we'll talk about, going to the pharmacy, going to the doctor. What are the side effects that people need to be aware of? It's probably not a good idea to be taking these things every day for years and years. So when to take them and when to wean yourself off? A lot of questions out there. We're getting some callers, too. We'll get you on the air in just a sec. The number is 210-614-8980. We're talking about allergies. What can help you? Do you have a home remedy that seems to work? Tell us about it. Everyone could be just loving you up on that. Call in 210-614-8980. We'll come back.
San Antonio's history dates back 300 years, but people who think they know San Antonio's past might only be scratching the surface.
There's a lot more secret history in San Antonio to be uncovered and to be told and made not secret.
On the next Fronteras, David Martin Davies takes us through an uncharted side of the Alamo City's history with a new comic. Download Fronteras wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about allergies. We're in fall allergy season. Lots of things in the air that want to make you miserable and are doing a good job of it. We've got a lot of callers. Let's find out what the callers have in mind when we talk about allergies. April is on the air. And April, hey, go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I have a son with allergies, and I'm trying to allergy proof the house, but when I go shopping I see all of these products. They all say hypoallergenic, and I don't really know like which one to purchase for his bedroom, for vacuuming the carpet, for air cleaners, things like that. So my question is, like, how do you know which products are good for allergy patients?
How old is your son?
He's 10.
10 years old. And how does he exhibit that he's being, you know, the allergies are getting him? How can you tell?
So when he plays sports, he comes in and he starts like having itchy, watery eyes. He's congested. His nose starts to run. There's coughing. He might start wheezing depending on the weather. So, you know, we are following our treatment plan, but I also want to use products in our home that will be better for his allergies.
April, thank you so much. I'm so glad you called in. So, Dr. Villalobos, what can you tell April?
Yeah, that's one thing that we really deal with a lot. First of all, finding out what you're allergic to will kind of narrow down on what you have to do at home. If he has symptoms all year round, he could potentially be allergic to something he's seeing every single day. And the things that he could potentially be seeing every single day are the dust mites, animal dander, and any mold inside the house. So for dust mite allergy, I usually recommend getting dust mite barrier covers, and you zipper them over the pillows, and you zipper them over the mattress, and you leave them there. Don't even take those off and wash them. What you're going to do is you're going to put the regular sheets and pillowcases on top of that. If it's more seasonal allergies to the pollens, I usually recommend getting an air cleaner for the bedroom that has a HEPA filter. The HEPA filters have been studied, and we do know that what they extract out of the room, what they pull out is pollen, mold spores, and animal dander. I like it for the bedroom because the bedroom is the one place they spend most of my time in any one given place at any time. I like for them to have that area free of allergens. They're in the living room for an hour or two, go to the kitchen, go to the bathroom, but when they get in their bedroom, they're there hopefully for 7 or 8 hours. That area has to be free of allergens. So dust mite covers for the pillows and mattress, a HEPA filter air cleaner, and then keeping the animals out of the bedroom is really important also.
Kenneth Mendez, President and CEO of the Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America. What about these commercial products that promise to be allergy safe?
Yeah, I would say, so we've got a website, asthmaandallergyfriendly.com, and we have a certification and a standard program that looks at some of these products. And, you know, part of it is that, you know, you got to figure out which ones are the right ones to use. So we've got a scientific testing procedure that's run through a medical scientific board. And, you know, not all vacuum cleaners are made the same, so HEPA is important. But, you know, when you empty the filter, for example, allergens can get out. So, you know, we try and screen for that. So I'd say the simple thing is just to visit that website, and your April can check out what products are available there, and we've vetted those.
And be skeptical when you go to the store. Not everything that they overpromise.
Well, think about it this way, organic. Like, what does organic mean? And there's a big debate about that right now. And what we've tried to do as an organization is to go out there and try and work with an outside group to set some standards that are scientifically based and really vet some of the products.
Okay, a lot of calls. Let's get T on the air. Hey, T, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question is with antihistamines, like over-the-counter, like Claritin and Zyrtec, my son suffers from allergies, and his doctor prescribes like over-the-counter antihistamines, do they build up an immunity to the antihistamines, and do you need to keep like switching out the brands?
Right, T, thank you for that call. Dr. Cantu, associate professor in the School of Nursing at UT Health San Antonio.
So that's a really good question, because those are advertised so much on TV and over-the-counter, and you've got your generic ones versus the real ones. And so there's always some debate going on about the antihistamines. I'm not sure, and I don't know of any science that says you build up any kind of immunity to that over time, although you do want to be cautious about how long you do take that. So I want to second Dr. Villalobos saying that if it is allergies that you suffer from over the year, throughout the year, it is really important to see what you are sensitive to, and that will help you direct you in the right direction with an antihistamine.
But antihistamines have side effects, right? I mean, they do things
Correct.
Like keep you awake or make you drowsy.
Some of them can certainly keep you awake. Some make you drowsy. And that also depends on the person's makeup, too. So what may keep me awake may make somebody else sleepy. So you do need to be sensitive to those things. And again, if you know what you're sensitive to, again, being pointed in the right direction for an antihistamine that would work for you is going to be the best solution.
Should a person keep a diary of their allergies and what they're doing? And
I think that would help. Just like we recommend sometimes a food diary, the allergy diary will help you understand what you're exposed to and then what your symptoms are. And that will help you, and also your doctor or your provider, in helping you understand what you are allergic about.
And what are some things I would want to log?
So if you're out shopping, go to a mall and you're shopping and you always and then you come home and you experience, are you experiencing some things when you always go to that store or that mall or that park? Those are going to be significant factors that you want to tell your provider about. Okay, what's there? And that's where the pollen count and the weather forecast you mentioned are going to be helpful. So that diary is really helpful just to jog your memory, because we do so much and we're so distracted. But if I write something down, I can better report that.
And you can see the pattern.
And you can see the pattern.
Correct. All right, another caller, Christian. Christian, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, thank you for having me. So what I wanted to talk about was, I've always suffered from extreme congestion since I was a child, especially seasonal in the fall and in the winter. And I've always relied on like allergen medication to get me through those days. But one time I accidentally discovered with my wife when I came home that we used oregano with a diffuser, and it worked better for me than any other type of medicine. Like, my congestion in a couple of minutes, it just gone, you know, hers too. And I was able to breathe better than with medication. And that's what we rely on now.
What do you mean oregano with a diffuser?
So it's a oregano essential oil, and we use a diffuser. The diffuser kind of, you have water in the diffuser and maybe like one or two to four drops of essential oil, and it diffuses it to the air.
Have you told other people about this, and how they reported back to you on how it worked?
No.
So you kept it a secret. You knew this, and you told. Well, thank you, Christian, for letting us know about this here on the air. But, you know, so what about? Thank you so much for the call. Dr. Villalobos, something like this?
Well, it's interesting. I haven't heard about the oregano. But first of all, Christian, when a patient tells me that they have congestion, I think about something they could potentially be seeing every single day. Congestion is one of the hardest symptoms to get under control. And another thing that we do in a practice is we really do recommend moisturizing yourself as much as possible. It turns out that the eye, the nose, the mouth has to stay wet, because there is a barrier there. You do have some defense by being wet. And so when patients use nasal saline, flushes, you know, the neti pot and things like that, you do add a barrier there that will protect you from a lot of these allergens. So I'm not sure about the oregano. It sounds like a great thing to try. But more so, what may be helping you is a diffuser.
And how would that be helping?
Mainly because it adds moisture. It adds moisture
okay.
to your nasal passageways. Now, you'll hear a lot of times people say when they go to the coast, they get better. Well, it turns out when they're around the salt water, they just tend to be a little bit more moist in their nasal passageways, and it acts as a barrier.
All right, let's go to the call. Lumi, welcome to The Source.
Hello. So I wanted to ask a question for Dr. Cantu. I just wanted to know, as far as those who have allergies and they don't have, like, the means to get, you know, have the Benadryl doesn't work, they don't have insurance, and all these, like, remedies don't work, like, what do you suggest for them to do?
Lumi, thank you for the call.
That's a very good question, because access is a very significant issue for many people across the country, and certainly here in San Antonio, where we have such economic segregation here. Health insurance does cost money, and if you have health insurance, you have to meet the deductible. They don't certainly cover over-the-counter, so over-the-counter is out of your pocket anyway.
That ain't cheap.
And you are certainly right, particularly if it's not a generic brand. They're going to be a lot more expensive. What can be helpful with that in terms of over the counter? You know, the generic. If there's a generic, that's going to be cheaper for you. Now, if you're talking about prescribed medication, and you don't have any health insurance or anything like that to pay, looking for sources in the community that can help you with that. There are some nonprofits in the community that can help pay for some medical expenses or healthcare expenses, pharmacy expenses. There are certainly clinics in town, primary care clinics that are run by University Health System that can help people get on the CareLink program that could cover some of that as well. There's also pharmaceuticals that have a medical assistance program. So if you're going to be on a medication for long period of time, they can help at lower cost or no cost providing that medication through a place like the University Health System that can help you apply for those. So there are several mechanisms, but it's still an issue in terms of access and does create those health disparities that we see with vulnerable populations.
So medical professionals, the medical system, it does recognize severe allergies, seasonal allergies, as a legitimate, serious medical condition that needs treatment and can't just be written off as like, well, too bad for you.
Right.
Okay. All right. We're going to take another break. Got some more callers. We're going to talk about home remedies and what to do about allergies here on The Source. Call in 210-614-8980. We'll be right back after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about allergies here in San Antonio. I'm sure you know this already in your heart, but here's the fact that San Antonio has been named as one of the five most challenging places to live with fall allergies. That's because we have ragweed, we have mountain cedar, we have all these mold blooms that are happening because of the cycle of sun and rain. So folks who are susceptible to allergies are really feeling it right now. What to do about that? Give us a call if you've got a question or a comment. 210-614-8980. Like Max. And Max, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to just share something that my daughter, Ariana, she's been suffering. She's 15, and most of her life she suffered from asthma and allergies. But we've seen a very good asthma and allergy specialist here in San Antonio. Thanks to his work, she is not taking any more shots, and she's clear of the asthma for good. But the allergens, seasonal allergies, are something that still we have some, since everything in hand, just to you know, fight that if necessary. But I'd like to share something that I don't know if the doctors can perhaps comment on that, is local honey. Since the local honey is pollinations or the local allergens, I heard that that's a very good source to fight allergies. Unfortunately, my daughter doesn't like honey, so.
Okay.
But
all right. All right, Max, thank you for the call. That's also been an email question that we had about eating local honey, if that exposes you to similar pollen levels and it kind of creates an inoculation against that. Is that just a wives' tale? Any of our doctors here in the studio?
All I can say is that I would think it would be the same principle of that desensitization, that you would become exposed to that. However, in his daughter's case, it may be that she's already been exposed enough to it that it's not going to be helpful because of her level of exposure to it. So with being desensitized, you want to do that small level over time.
So when we say local honey, that doesn't mean you're buying it from your neighborhood HEB. That's not local. That's honey that probably came from elsewhere, but also it's been pasteurized. So if you mean local honey, that means buying it from a local beekeeper, someone who is bees, they're flying around and they're pollinating the same things, the same sort of plants, and that are might be making you miserable. It might help you, but at least it's going to be sweet going down if you like honey. Let's go to another caller. Let's go to Mary. And Mary, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm surprised that nobody has mentioned nasal lavage. I have introduced to this when I had a really severe sinus infection, and so I started using it. Just a bit of warm water, saline. Mm-hmm. You can mix up the saline with a small amount of baking soda and sea salt. Mix it up. You can also add things to it, like a tiny bit of apple cider vinegar. And also Manuka honey is a really known great antiseptic. I'd like for them to speak about the neti pot.
All right. So Kenneth Mendez is the president and CEO of the Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America. Neti pots seem to be popular. A lot of YouTube videos out there about how to use them. Is this something that you see as a benefit?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the doctors were commenting on it earlier in terms of the moisture, but washing out some of the pollen. I mean, from our perspective, you know, for home remedies, that's a tough one. We don't recommend any treatment not approved by the FDA. And one of the reasons why we run this report was we advise our patients to follow the treatment of a board-certified allergist. So that's really, you know, an important lens on this condition. But there are things you could do. Take a shower and shampoo your hair before going to bed to remove the pollen from your hair and skin. Wash your clothes, after you've been outside. Dry your laundry in a clothes dryer, not outside, to limit the pollen exposure. And, you know, we were talking about pets earlier and wiping off pets before they enter the home. So there's some things that you can do which are common sense that can reduce your exposure to allergies. But we'd really recommend seeing a board-certified allergist.
And when you say wipe down your pets before they come inside, with like a specialized microcloth of some sort?
No, you just give them hose them down and then wipe them down.
Okay.
That's what we do for our dog.
No big deal then. But there are some issues people need to be aware of, that neti pots, they can have downsides if you're using the wrong kind of water. It should be just, what do people need to know about neti pots? Is that something that you recommend, Dr. Cantu?
Certainly, just as Dr. Villalobos, I'm sure the moisture that you could add in would be very, very helpful. I don't know of any situation where someone has come back to me and said that they've had some negative consequences from that. But again, it would be what you would put into that as well. If you add some herbs or you add some things to it, then that might be problematic.
So this is going to sound gross or weird for anybody. So you're basically pouring water into one nostril chamber and it comes out the other? Is that how that works?
Well, depending on the video that you do see, but you know, basically we're looking at in and out. Yeah, you're creating that moisture, that moist atmosphere. Okay. And then washing everything out.
And the idea is that you're washing out the crud, the pollen, things that could be getting to you. And when you have that up in your sinuses, that's an area that's really going to be highly sensitive to these types of products. Mm-hmm. And anything to add to that? Because it seems to be a thing, Dr. Villalobos.
No, I agree with everything that's been said. The saline, I generally just have patients use saline. I don't know if you guys remember from school, but there was an experiment you can do where you take these two compartments of water and you put what's called a semi-permeable membrane in between, meaning water could travel to either side. If you stick salt into one side, water will travel there. So water travels to an area of higher concentration. So as patients flush their sinuses with salt water, you actually have any moisture that's out there that will follow it. So that's where you get the moisture from it. So that works as a barrier, and it does flush pollen and mold spores and things out of the nasal cavity.
All right, let's get Cindy on the air. She called in. Hey, Cindy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a question. I used to take shots for my cedar allergies, and I just moved here. It's been 5 years. And I was wondering, is there anything other than shots that I can take for my mountain cedar allergies?
And Dr. Villalobos?
Yes, well, as we talked about earlier, as far as treating your symptoms, you could take an antihistamine for runny nose, sneeze, and itching, and you can also do a nasal steroid spray for congestion. But there are also allergy drops that a lot of board-certified allergists in San Antonio are starting to do, and you can do it just for mountain cedar season. Now, the problem with the allergy drops instead of shots is that they're not FDA-approved. So when you do see a board-certified allergist for the drops, it will be out of pocket. But you can do the drops also that are as effective as the allergy shots.
What are the testing for allergies? How does that work?
Yeah, it's a skin test, and there's mainly a prick test where we actually put the drops of things, the mountain cedar, the grass, the trees, and then we just kind of scratch the skin with it. And if you're allergic, your body will release histamine, and that's a positive response, and it kind of feels like a mosquito bite. And that'll tell you what you're allergic to.
So antihistamines, that counters to histamine.
Correct. You cannot do a skin test if you're taking an antihistamine. You have to come off the antihistamine because it'll block the response.
All right, another caller, Pamela. Pamela, you're the last call. Go right ahead.
Yes, I met my husband 42 years ago, and he was miserable with mountain cedar and ragweed in the San Antonio area. And he tried everything, and he'd just be so ill he'd have to go to bed. But he went to an allergist who gave him a really great tip that I think is a miracle. Back then it was called Beckenese. I think it's now Flonase. But he told him, he said, before the season hit, start spraying your inside your nose with that Flonase, and he has not one symptom anymore. It totally cured him. So that's my home remedy.
Well, Pamela, thank you so much for calling in. I'm so glad to hear that hubby is doing a lot better. So what was going on with that, Dr. Villalobos?
Well, the nasal steroid sprays are the ones that are really help congestion. As we said, the antihistamines help runny nose, sneeze, and itching, but they don't really target nasal congestion. And I think that's where the caller earlier was asking about, do these medications, do you develop a resistance to them? And I think when you realize the symptoms that you're trying to treat, the antihistamines don't help congestion. The nasal steroid sprays help runny nose, sneeze, and itching, nasal congestion, and even drainage down the back of the throat. They can take about 2 or 3 days before they start to work. So a lot of recommendations is, yes, go ahead, start that before the season, and it keeps everything open for you.
So Kenneth Mendez, President and CEO of the Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America, are we doing enough to particularly reach out to folks who are the vulnerable in America who don't have health care to provide them some relief? Because obviously allergies can make people miserable.
That's a great question, and it's really tough because the underserved populations are the one who are hit most from allergies and asthma, and I think we talked about patient assistance programs and community-based programs, but what we're trying to do here on a national basis is advocate for policies that help those communities, whether it's kind of reducing air pollution. You know, the doctor talked about the ozone levels, and we partner with environmental groups in order to try and push through and raise awareness for air quality and better programs that will help with allergy and asthmas.
And really quick, Dr. Cantu, the people who are elderly typically have issues with respiratory. How does that compound?
Well, certainly, as you grow older, everything in terms of your body systems becomes a lot more vulnerable, a lot weaker. Seniors are known to have lungs that are more vulnerable, so anytime they're out there, they're going to be exposed to that.
And so if you're doing some elder care with someone in your family, be aware.
Exactly.
All right, it sounds like you need to get some to yeah. deal with your own allergy issues there. Dr. Adelita Cantu, Dr. Villalobos, Kenneth Mendez, this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.